This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
After the 12 o'clock hour, welcome back into the whole show powered by Chevron. I am really excited. My game of the week, this is the one I'm the most interested in. I know the Broncos-Chargers, that's a huge battle, but it's still week three. I know CSU really needs to beat UTSA. All of that, I'm looking at it. But Wyoming and Colorado. I don't know, Ethan. I got picks coming up at the end of the show today, and I won't put you to that test. But 13.5. What was the score with Wyoming and Utah? Was it 31 to, what was the final score of that game there, Ethan?
That was 31-6.
31-6. I know the score looks bad, and Utah ultimately covered, but I still, I took more positives from that. If Wyoming could have found an ounce of offense, who knows what's going to happen in that game? And Utah's not the same team as Colorado, so I don't know. I'm kind of in between two different universes right now in looking at this game.
Yeah, two things can be true. The Wyoming offense was unacceptably bad, and the Utah defense is very, very good. Those two things can be true at the same time, and this Colorado defense is not even close to what that Utah defense will be. So if the Wyoming offense can't get something going, Jay Johnson is going to have a lot of questions to answer come Monday.
Oh, no question. I mean, that's the thing. It's funny because I was in the same boat as you, and you follow this team closely, but we were like, okay, we like some of the pieces on offense, but we don't know much about this defense at all. This defense looks as good as it has looked, maybe just as good as it did under Craig Bohl. With a lot of these additions, and that linebacking core is ridiculous. Again, I know that's a shocker, but now you just got to give them a little bit. Even just moving the ball down the field, give these guys some rest.
Yeah, it's weird. You have to remember that Caden Anderson is still a young starting quarterback. I think this is going to be like his seventh game, but I don't think he's been helped out a whole lot with the play calling. But also sometimes when it comes to Caden, I don't think he was completely 100% last week, but also he's got to make some better reads, especially on those read options where sometimes he keeps the ball when he shouldn't, sometimes he hands it off when he shouldn't. But that's also kind of with how young he is at the starting quarterback position. So Caden's going to have to make a big step this week.
Yeah, no question. I mean, it's a battle of the Cadens. One spells his name differently, though, so that could be the difference. It could be the spelling there. On the run game, I mean, you look at it. I feel like this running back core for Wyoming, I mean, that's pretty deep. They had an amazing running back last year. We've talked about him already. We don't need to go there anymore, but it does seem like they're pretty deep. I mean, do you expect Wyoming and Jay Sovell just to flat out say, you know what? The passing idea was fun. I want to try it eventually, and we all want to do it so that at the end of the season we've got a passing game. But passing game maybe be damned a little bit. Let's run all over a Buffs team that has been struggling against the run pretty much since Coach Prime took over.
Yeah, I mean, on Monday, Coach Sovell even said that he feels like they're going away from the run a little bit too much. And that's the bread and butter of Wyoming football, since Wyoming football was Wyoming football. You run the darn ball. The problem on Saturday was that they couldn't get anything going between the tackles against Utah. But when Utah's defensive line is the biggest human beings you're going to see the whole season, that kind of makes sense. But where they were finding some success was off of the edges, which they went away from a little bit too much, in my opinion. But, you know, like you said, CU, they can't really defend the run whatsoever, and they're worse between the tackles. And when you've got a running back like Sam Scott, who hits those holes really hard, I think it could be a recipe of disaster for the Buffs.
Well, on the Buff side of things, too, I mean, when you look at this game, it's going to be a late night for you, my friend.
No
question. But the Buffs certainly have their turmoil. And I mean, the pressure is all on Colorado. I mean, Wyoming's 2-1. They're already, I mean, a win away from where they were last season. So you got to feel like things have been going well, and maybe half glass full, half empty with how you want to view that Utah game. I'm choosing to kind of view it as glass half full, honestly.
Yeah.
The Buffs certainly have their issues. I mean, they're already in a quarterback carousel. They're going around right now between three different dudes, going back to Caden Salter. So this does feel like kind of a touchy time for the Buffs to be taking on the Cowboys at this stage.
Oh, yeah. I mean, 2-2 is, I mean, we would have been happy if Wyoming was 2-2 come the end of conference play, and then the real season starts when you get into Mountain West play. But if you go in 3-1, the favor that you're earning from not only the fan base, but probably from Tom Berman, will be huge for Jay Sovell and this football team. And, you know, I think they'll prove that they can be a true contender in a Mountain West that looks a lot more wide open than a lot of people expected. CU, I mean, if they lose to, I mean, you and I, we know these teams. We know Wyoming is a legit team, but most Buffs fans, they don't understand that Wyoming is a team that could beat CU. So if they lose to Wyoming, there's gonna be a whole lot of unhappy people in Boulder.
When you, just even going back further, when you look at it, because again, I'm looking at the matchups. Utah, completely different team than Colorado. I wouldn't be shocked if we're talking about Utah in the playoffs this year, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, Utah, I think they're going to smack Texas Tech this week and prove that they're the top team. And Devin Dampier is legit. That O-line is legit. That defense attacks you at all three phases. There's not a weakness on Utah, and I think that they're going to prove that this week. But when you look at Utah, look at how much better they got once they figured out who their starting quarterback was going to be every single week. And they went out and got him. Whereas CU, I think they kind of have shades of what you saw from Utah last year. Like, who's going to start? What does that do mentally to a football team? And what does that do mentally to a quarterback, you know? So I think that also might be leading to some of the Buffs issues.
Well, and I know Devin Dampier, if you just want to look at the box score, yeah, he got his numbers. Mm-hmm. He ran for almost 100 yards. Yeah. He threw for two touchdowns. He threw for 230 yards. But I felt like Wyoming contained him for the most part until you got to that mid-third quarter. I think Jay Sovell even talked about that third and long. That was kind of a backbreaker. Yeah. But I thought they contained him well.
Well, they did. They absolutely did. And then, you know, none of them were going to say it, but when you're on the field for 80 plays, you're not going to be able to play to the top of your ability like you saw in the first half. But the offense did not give the defense any favors or any type of rest. You know, that end of that third and 21, unacceptable. Fatigue didn't have anything to do with that. Somebody just missed an assignment. You can't do that. But as you got later into that later third quarter and fourth quarter, I mean, these guys were gassed, and I think that kind of led to the score being run up a little bit. But they played about as perfect as they could for 75% of the game.
Yeah, no, I thought so. And again, those linebackers, Evan Eller, Braden Johnson, I mean, these guys, these are top-tier linebackers. These are guys we're probably going to be talking about, I think, maybe talking about on Sunday someday.
Well, they certainly play like they could. I mean, these are two of the best linebackers Wyoming has had since Logan Wilson. I'm sorry.
Oh, you
gracious.
Got it.
two of the best. Where one of them was on the team last year but took a red shirt, and the other was in a town that nobody's ever heard of last year playing D3 football or something like that. Like, give me a break. These two guys, they were right under everybody's noses, and now they're some of the top-rated linebackers in the country. And they just play so hard, and they hit so hard, and their eyes are really good. That's what differentiates them. A good linebacker from an elite linebacker is those little organs in your head called eyeballs, and they use them so well, and they're so disciplined, and that's why they're such difference makers.
Do you think the Cowboys have a realistic shot here, man? How do you feel?
Oh, yeah. I'm feeling good about it. It doesn't matter.
Like, really good? Like, really good? I'm trying to get a pick out of you here,
I'm feeling really good about 13.5.
Okay.
Well, this game's going to go one of two ways. It's either, you know, Wyoming wins, like, 21-17, you know, 17-10, something like that, or Boulder wins, or Boulder covers. I think that's the only two ways this game is going to go. But I think it's more likely that Wyoming really comes out and competes and gives the Buffs a run for their money. I'll give you the pick. I've come prepared this time. You know, I'll be prepared in future weeks. That's the pick I took. So, full transparency, my money is on that.
You know, I'm going to ask at some point because every hour of the show, 3 hours a day, leads up to one final segment, and that's the picks. That's all this show is about for me personally, to get some gain and insight on where I'm going to pick. That's what the show. It's not for the people. This is 100% about my picks.
You got to get the bills paid somehow, right?
100%.
You got to make sure you hit it.
Ethan, I thought it was interesting, just looking at the Denver Post predictions, they primarily cover the Buffaloes more than, you know, obviously the Broncos and then the Buffaloes second, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Everybody that we follow here, I'm looking at their picks, and they all have it as a pretty close game. I mean, I think the biggest discrepancy I see here is a 10-point game. So it's interesting. They're all kind of on that side where Wyoming at least covers.
Yeah, they're going to compete. And, you know, I think that Utah game really showed this team what they can do. You know, they can hang. They can hang with some of the best teams in the country. You know, it's like the Texas game a couple years ago. If you can hang with the best and you can prove to your guys that you can hang with the best and then you fix the mistakes, who can't you beat, right? You know, it's always Pokes versus the world, and this week it's just Pokes versus the Buffs.
Yeah, well, and sometimes that can feel, when you're going up against the Buffs, it can feel like it's you versus the world because of the coverage that they get. But, man, mm-hmm. you talk about the spotlight right here on Wyoming, and I think about tight end John Michael Gillenborg, assuming he's good to go here as we talk on a Friday. That's a guy we've all talked about being drafted at some point. If he can show mm-hmm. out on a big stage like he's going to be on tomorrow night, then that stock goes way up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's going to be 52,000 people in the stands already. You've got a standalone ESPN game that, knowing ESPN, we're not kicking off at 8:15. It'll be like 8:30.
Yeah.
It'll be a later night for everybody. But, I mean, it's cool. Like, what an opportunity for these young men, right? Like, you're playing on the channel that you've watched your whole life and wanted to be on. You're playing against one of the greatest people to ever play football in front of a sold out crowd. Why not us, you know? Why not compete and show what you've got? And if J. Mike is healthy, tomorrow night's the night to do it.
What percentage is he at this stage?
I don't know. I don't think he practiced on Monday, and that's really the last I heard. It's a thigh bruise, which isn't like season ending or anything like that, but it's definitely can nag at you pretty good and reduce your performance. But Savelle, I mean, it sounded like he was like 60-40. I don't know. We don't get to watch practice during the week, so we don't know. But we'll know before the game tomorrow, I guess.
Yeah, well, I'm going to take the 60-40. I'm going to take that as a positive going forward.
It's definitely trending in the right direction as opposed to the wrong one.
Ethan, what do you got going for us, man, that we can check out at KGWN-TV as you're preparing for this big matchup?
Well, tonight, right after this, I'm preparing for Friday Night Frenzy. It's high school football night.
Nice,
how fun that is. But, yeah, I mean, tomorrow we're going to have coverage all day. You know, live shots in our 5:30, live shot in our 10. And our weekend sports anchor Casey is going to have in-depth stuff on Sunday after the once it's all said and done. And we're going all in on the Pokes every Monday. We go to that presser and let everybody know what they need to know. And it's a lot of fun, and we love covering this team. And we love covering wins, so let's see if we get one on Saturday.
See if they can pull off a little something dangerous this weekend, my friend. Ethan, appreciate you as always, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next week.
Yeah, of course, man. See you then.
Always. Ethan Bird, sports director at KGWN-TV. Boy, this is a toughie here. I mean, the spread seems fairly realistic. You know, I'm looking at the Denver Post, and they've got Kyle Newman has CU beating Wyoming 28-24. Our buddy, Sean Keeler, has CU beating Wyoming 25-26, still a cover for Wyoming. And then Matt Schubert, sports editor at the Denver Post, has this one 23 CU, Wyoming 13, so a 10-point game. So all three of those guys, fairly in the know when it comes to Colorado Buffaloes, they at least are saying a Wyoming cover here. So we'll do with that what you want. Also some Buffs news, Michael. You know, a lot was talked about with Ralphie. They've got what, Michael? Are you a Roman numerals guy?
It depends.
Give me the V.
That's a five.
In the I.
That's seven.
Okay, so Ralphie 7 is coming up. 1-year-old Buffalo Bison, for those following along, to make debut Saturday against Wyoming. I mean, I'm guessing she's just going to like be standing there, right? They're not going to like, are they going to walk her out there? She might already have more than the last one. So that's some interesting news for the Buffs. Is that going to give them a little extra juice? 1-year-old Bison out there on the field? What do you think? No comment. Okay, 21 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, Michael's not a bison connoisseur, so we won't go back to that well.
I want a bison burger.
Okay, 21 minutes after 12 o'clock, it's the whole show powered by Chevron on a Football Friday presented by Big City Roadhouse. We'll be right back.
City Roadhouse presents Football Friday on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.